Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. Welcome to Lifestyles of People That Make It in Life. You know, there's things you learn as you grow up. You learn, you know, that was smart. I need to do that again. Or you learn, that was dumb. I don't want to do that again. Sometimes you learn how to succeed by learning from failure, you know. I played sports when I was in high school, played football and baseball and loved to wrestle. And you're trying to win. What's the goal? You know, we're trying to win. I remember one time I was joined the wrestling team, and it was a new sport at our school. You know, we're a country school in East Tennessee, and we had never had wrestling before. So this is our very first year, and we're competing. And our very first match was in front of the student body right after lunch. And so I'm wrestling, I think the 49-pound class. And so I'm coming out, and we just learned, had a great coach, good guy right out of the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, real smart and been very successful. He taught us this new takedown. He said, man, nobody knows this. It's Cherokee takedown. My turn came, and I went up there, and that's my student body. This is all the guys and girls I know. So I go out there, and, man, we got the first round, and I'm out there. And so, man, I took him to the ground quick. I popped his head down on that mat, and so he's tried to get up. Well, I popped him back down on the mat again. So I did it three times, popped to the left, popped to the right. Man, students are screaming, and everybody's cheering, and I'm looking good. I'm out there in front of my friends and popping his head down. Well, we didn't know, but they'd learned a reverse to the Cherokee takedown. We didn't know there was a reverse. So all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm popping his head, people are cheering. First 60 seconds, I look like a hero. Next thing I know, I'm staring at my feet. I'm looking at the ceiling, and I see my feet. My feet are above my head, and my neck's pinned down to the mat. All of a sudden, somebody slapped the mat three times, pop, 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 and it was over. And I lost in like a minute and 20 seconds. I didn't make it to the second or third round. And all of a sudden, it got real quiet. And I thought, what happened? What happened? And I got up, and I'm stunned. And I realized something. Well, you didn't know everything you needed to know, you know. And so we're going to have to work a little harder. Just because it's your first year, you're still a novice. And you got to realize something. You're going to make mistakes. And I went there, and I was cocky. I thought, I can do this. I know how to do this, man. I'm good at this. You know, I've trained hard, and I run my 3 miles a day, and I'm doing all this stuff. And nope, somebody's been training harder. Somebody knew something I didn't know. And, boy, it was an embarrassing thought. So the next year, we got better. And you learn. How'd you learn? We got whipped. And same thing in football. I mean, we'd had two losing seasons. My sophomore and junior year, our senior, we finally had our first winning season. I said, how'd you learn? We got whipped a lot. How'd you learn how to win? We got whipped a lot. And so thinking about work, you know, I tell my kids all the time, you shouldn't hate going to work. You should love going to work. A man's gift makes room for him, brings him before kings, makes him wealthy. Everybody's gifted. Now, you know, and I was a school administrator, and I know we used to have what we call the gifted class, and I never had those. Everybody's gifted. There are more people who are millionaires and billionaires that never finished school than are people who did finish school. And it's because it's a gift. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. It's your gift. Now, you have to learn how to steward your gift, you know. We talk about people like Henry Ford and Thomas Edison who never finished school but ended up being very successful, you know. Thomas Edison, man, he's got 1,000 patents to his name. He got kicked out of school in the fourth grade. It's a gift, but you have to steward your gift. What are you good at? Well, get real good at it. Get around somebody that's better at it than you are. Benjamin Franklin, you know, he's an apprentice at age 12. How'd you learn to do this? I started early as a kid, Benjamin Franklin did. And he learned, became very successful and very wealthy. First millionaire in American history, if you read about Ben Franklin. How'd he do that? Well, he started working early. He got very, very good at it. And he learned by failing and not doing it so well. And so he finally started out on his own. And, man, it was incredible what he did. So work's involved in all this. So work is a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. So let's give you a few scriptures on this, kind of lay some foundation for this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 through 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 11 through 12. New Living Translation. says this. He says, yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people. We urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. Now, that's New Testament. What are you supposed to do? Work, earn your own living. We shouldn't be living off somebody else. Get your own job. Build your own career. Get good at something. Get real good at something. I remember when I first started working after I got back out of the service and I got married and I got a job at Olin Matheson, a big aluminum company in East Tennessee, right on the Tennessee River. And I started off as a janitor. I'm the janitor. But it was a union shop, and you could bid on jobs. And I was shocked because I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for money. And if that job pays more money than what I'm making, I'm going to sign up. And I remember how many times I would bid on a job, and somebody would catch me at work. Hey, McGee, you got to do something. Somebody signed your name up for the job down there in that department. Yeah, I did. Man, you don't want to work down there. You know who the foreman is down there? You don't want to work down there. You know how hot it is down there? You don't work down there. You know how dangerous that job is, that molten aluminum? And there was more people. They'd come out of the woodwork, cheerleaders from the pit of hell itself, trying to, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do that. Don't go there. But I realized something. You get paid for what you do and for what you know. If you can't do anything, you don't know anything, you don't get paid anything. Well, I'm trying to make money. So, man, I bid on everything, and I moved up the food chain fairly quick and got to the highest paid job in the plant as a furnace operator. People said, how'd you get that? I kept bidding on jobs, and I wasn't afraid to learn something new, wasn't afraid to try something new. So you got to learn how to work. It's just a good word. Work is a really good word. Psalm 90, verse 17. Psalm 90, verse 17. New King James. It says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What's he praying? Establish the work of our hands. You know, we got to do that. God, we want you to help us succeed. You know, you need to establish the work of our hands. God's big in the work. You know, it's a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. Psalm 104, verse 23, says, a man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. It's in Psalms. What do you do? Go to work in the morning. We're going, how long are you going to work? Until the sun pretty much goes down. We're going to work all day. Proverbs 18, verse 9. Proverbs 18, verse 9, New Living Translation. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. God is not much on laziness. Boy, there are no good scriptures about lazy people. Lazy people don't get very far, and they don't go very far. God wants people who want to stretch. Go the second mile. They ask you for your shirt, give them your coat. You ask you to go 1 mile, go two. Jesus is talking. He said, do extra. And if you got a job, show up a little early. Don't take a really long lunch break. Stay a few minutes late. Do your job. Be known for somebody that they can depend on. And that's how you get promoted. It's not your IQ. It's not your GPA. It's just, will you do the job? Will you do the job? I like this Proverbs 20, verse 11. Proverbs 20, 11. Every child is known by his doings, whether his work is pure, whether it is right. We even judge children by that way. Did you clean up your room? Did you get your homework done? Did you rake the yard? Did you wash the dishes? Did you mop the floor? Did you clean up the bathroom? We start early training our kids to, listen, guys, work's a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word. You'll be working the rest of your life. You need to learn how to work and work really good. I like this, Proverbs 24, 27. Proverbs 24, 27. Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. Do your planning, prepare your fields. Listen, I know you need a place to live, but if you don't have a crop planted, you won't have a place to live because you can't afford it. So make sure you're doing your job. Prepare your field, get the crop planted, get some money coming in, then you can build a house. I like this, Proverbs 21:25. Proverbs 21:25. Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. The lazy will come to ruin because their hands refuse to work. Man, that's good. Proverbs 24, verse 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. New Living Translation. He says this, I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard with no one, no common sense. I thought it was overgrown with thorns and nettles. It was covered with weeds. The walls were broken down. Then I looked and I thought about it. I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. Where's poverty and scarcity coming from? Laziness. He said, I walk by the field of a lazy person. What you notice? What you notice about them? They're not doing much. Man, they don't keep their grass mowed. They don't keep their car washed. You know, they don't take care of what they have. You know, you try to look at, God's a God of stewardship. What you take care of, he gives you more of. You know, the parable of the talents, 5, 2, and 1. Guy with the 5 will double to 10. Guy with 2, double to 4. Jesus is telling the story. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You'd be faithful of a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. God's really big on that. I love that. I like this. Proverbs 12:24. Work hard, become a leader. Be lazy, become a slave. I like this one. Proverbs 12:27. A lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. There's some people that go hunting. And I did this with a guy one time. We went up in another state, went deer hunting with a guy. And there are four of us. And all of a sudden, this guy shot this deer. And, of course, we got to dress it out in the field and bring the meat back. And it's cold, and it's been a good day, a hunting day, and we walked a lot. And so he said, man, I'm not doing it. And so we're kind of separate. When we get back to the truck, and the guy that had hosted us said, where's your deer at? He said, man, I left him out there in the woods. I'm too tired. It's too cold. He said, man, we're not leaving that deer in the woods. We shot that deer. We got to bring that meat home. And so two of the guys, I went with them, went back, and we dressed that deer up and brought it back. And that guy didn't get invited to hunt anymore. It's like, man, if you're going to go hunt, do your job. If you don't want to hunt, don't hunt again, but you better finish this one, because people are looking at you. I like this Proverbs 15, verse 19, the NIV translation. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Oh, I like that. I like them. Old Jerry Clower used to teach funny stories all the time. I listened to him on the radio years ago, and he would tell you a little story about this, about Proverbs 22:13. The sluggard, or the lazy man, says, there's a lion in the yard. There's a lion in the yard. I'll be murdered outside in the streets. And you tell a funny story about it. Said, there's a lion in the yard. No, man, ain't no lion. People run when there's nothing to run from. You're afraid of something that's not even real. So you got to go out and face things. You got to get bold. You got to go to work. You can't be afraid of hard work, you know. I like this one, Proverbs 26:14-16. Proverbs 26:14-16. As the door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. God does not like lazy people. He has no good thoughts about lazy people. I like this. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring him wealth. Ooh, I like that. I like wealth. That comes from diligent hands. Let's get busy and do something. Proverbs 13:4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Who's satisfied? Diligent person, hardworking person. Person shows up late, stays a little later. The desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. I like this, Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. They think, they plan, they work hard. Ooh, that's good. I like this, Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:27-31. I like that. The virtuous woman, she watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. He praises her and gives her reward that she has earned, for her works bring her praise at the city gate. What brings your praise? Her works. What's your wife known for? Working hard. What's that woman known for? Working hard. You know, even Ruth and Boaz, you know, the reason Boaz noticed this woman, because, man, she's working hard in the field. She's working for both her and her ex-mother-in-law. It's like she's working for two women. And they noticed that. And so I like this. I'll give you this last. This is real good. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without work is dead. Faith, you need faith. Without faith, you don't please God. But faith needs work. You got to finally put some, you know, feet to the plans that you've got. And so I don't know what all to do. Well, start where you are. Start now. People keep saying, I'm this one thing I dealt with my kids a long time ago. Well, I'm waiting on God. No, you're not. Nobody's waiting on God. There's no time in heaven. Heaven's eternity. Nobody's waiting on God. God's not backlogged. He's instant. He can do 20 billion things in one instant. So nobody's waiting on God. God's waiting on us. So let's get up and start somewhere. Well, I don't fully understand. Well, just go where you know. I remember used to when we loved to travel. We'd head back toward East Tennessee, and we'd see the Smoky Mountains coming up. You can see the mountains at a distance. And so you're coming out of the flat land, coming from Memphis, headed toward the east side of Tennessee. All of a sudden, there's that purple haze. What is that? Those are the mountains. Well, what are they? Well, you can see they look purple because they're miles away. As you got closer, they got bigger, and all of a sudden you could tell the hardwoods from the softwoods, the dark green from the light green. Then when you got close, you could tell the pines from the oaks. The closer you get, the clearer it will become. But you got to start somewhere. Start where you are, guys. It's going to be a blessing. Work is a great word. It's a four-letter word, but it's a blessing. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.